This is my Bible.
It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can.
I can do what it says I can.
I am a believer and not a doubter.
I'm a believer and not a doubter.
I am a doer and not just a hearer.
I'm a doer and not just a hearer.
I am humble before the Lord.
I am humble before the Lord.
I am obedient to the Lord.
I am obedient to the Lord.
I am mature in the Lord.
I am mature in the Lord.
I am enthusiastic about the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that.
I know that.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing comes by the word of God.
And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Great job. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 All right. We want to thank again our youth and those who train them up to be the next leaders of this generation. Amen. Our scripture text for the last time will come from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It reads this way: Then the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Somebody say, great joy.
Great joy.
Great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior. Somebody say, a Savior.
Savior.
A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This is going to be our fourth and final sermon in this series that we have simply entitled Persistent Joy. Now, I have been saying that as we have transitioned from the Thanksgiving season, where we talk primarily about thankfulness to God, we're now in the end of, or in the key point of the Christmas season, where the emphasis centers around joy. And that's primarily the joy that we feel and express as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also said that I wanted to take a holistic look at joy in an attempt to get us to see that the joy that the Lord wants us to experience or to have is not just for the Christmas season, amen, but a joy that we must strive to maintain and experience in all seasons, in all situations, and all the struggles that we go to and experience in life. Now, we have defined joy this way. Joy is a state of delight and well-being from knowing, from trusting, and serving God. A feeling of great pleasure also means to rejoice. I've said that in the Bible, there are a number of Hebrew and Greek terms or words that are used to convey the idea of joy. And so the word joy, or some variation of that word, joyful, joyous, rejoice, cheerful, appears in the Bible over 400 times. And I've said that as a result of that, God himself wants us to know and experience joy. I've also said that it's important to understand that that does not mean that we live a life that is absent of pain and sorrow. You know, however, we have to trust in God even in the times of great sorrow, great loss, or great pain, because those things are just a part of life. But if we confidently put our trust in God and believe what his words say, then we have to believe that one day pain and sorrow will give way to joy. And I'm going to show you, Jesus kind of gave us a glimpse of that here today. So in this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in spite of what some of you may be going through, in spite of what may be going on in your life, I want to encourage you to persist in joy. Amen? Now today we begin by looking at some of the other things that Jesus said about joy. And we will close by adding some context to the scripture that I've chosen to be our text scripture. So if you look with me today in the book of John, I'll start there, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And when I start reading, I'll read verses 9 through 12. Now, this chapter begins with Jesus depicting himself as the true vine. And he considered us to be the what? If he's the vine, we are the branches. Amen. And in the teaching, he is connecting love and joy together. He is teaching us that abiding in him will lead us to complete or perfected or mature joy. And love will also be perfected if we abide in him. So when we abide in Christ and obey his commands, we draw joy and love from him. And the same joy and love that he had with the Father, he wants us to have with him. In other words, just because you're in a relationship with Jesus and you're striving to obey him and do the things that he will require of you, that ought to give you a sense and a feeling of joy. And you ought to do those things because you love him. So sometimes you'll find out that when we love people in a true and honest way, joy is a byproduct of love. Amen. And so therefore, when we continue to do that in the church ought to be filled with both joy and love. Not just in the Christmas season, but in all seasons. Amen. So look what Jesus said. He says in verse 9, he says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Well, we know how much God loved the Son. And Jesus said, to the same degree that the Father loved me, I have loved you. And he tells them to remain in my love, abide in my love, stay connected to my love. And then he tells us, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. So he made it clear to us, Finley. He didn't leave nothing out when it comes to our imagination. Say, how do we remain in his love? Well, he tells us, if you just do what I say, do. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to run around telling everybody, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You know, like your children say, Mommy, I love you, and Daddy, I love you. But they don't do nothing you say. So absence of obedience, love is just void. And so Jesus saying, look, if you truly love me, then obey my commands. Obey my Father's commandment and remain in his love. Look, he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my what? Joy. Jesus wants you to have joy. He wants you to have his joy. And his joy was so strong, the Bible says, when he went to the cross, he endured the cross because of the joy that he saw before him. So Jesus saw joy even in coming to sacrifice love himself for us. And he's telling us to remain in his love. And then he tells us, I have told you these things, the things he told them previously about this vine and the other teachings, so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. At some point in time, because of our relationship with joy, with Jesus, our joy should overflow. You ought to be expecting that because of you loving him and him loving you and you obeying him, those things ought to bring joy to you. And when you walk in that joy and you live in that joy ought to overflow. In other words, others ought to be beneficiaries of the joy that you have for the Lord. Amen. And so therefore, joy can be contagious when it starts to But then he comes back and throw the command about love in there. Man, it looked like he would have been all right, Adrian. But then he come back and connect this thing back to love. He said, this is my commandment, verse 12. Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. We know how he loved us. It was a sacrificial love. And so Jesus commanded his followers that, hey, they got to love one another in a sacrificial way. Amen. And see, when we practice sacrificial love, that means sometimes it's not always that we just got to, you know, stop everything that we're doing, but sometimes we got to be willing to make sacrifices for people when it is inconvenient for us. See, so sometimes you may have to stop doing what you're doing because you love a person to listen to them, just to hear some of the things that they may be experiencing. You may have to sometime lend people a helping hand because you love them. And every now and then, people that you know need to be encouraged, so you may have a word that you can share with them when they're down. And then we express this love through our giving. Because Jesus gave, then we are blessed and someone else is in need. And this is a good season for that. Amen. In addition to all the things that we're going to do for our children, the gifts we're going to do, then show love somewhere outside of your normal circle of influence. If God has blessed you to be able to do that, you can do it anonymous. You don't need no fanfare. All you need to do is say, God, I'm going to be obedient to you, and I'm going to show love outside of my normal circle. Those are ways that we can abide in his love. And so sometimes we got to see our resources that God has blessed us with as a tool that we can use to show others that we, y'all don't have to be quiet right there. It's talk back time. To show others that we, Pee-wee, what we say? Love them. Because when we were coming up in the hood, talk was cheap. And every now and then, you're going to have to put some resources behind your talk. And so therefore, then when you do that, then your love will be manifested. People can see it because you're doing something to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Y'all with me so far? Now look at this in John chapter 16, verse 16 through 20. Here we see Jesus preparing his disciples. This is the end of the story. I'm going to talk about the end of the story. Then I'm going to go back and we're going to finish up with the beginning of the story. Because most of you scholars in here know that when we see Jesus preparing his disciples for death, his death and departure, but he also promised them that after a period of sorrow, their joy would return. In this life, we're going to have times of sorrow and grief. And especially, you know, it's tough when you're doing that during the season that we're in. You know, a lot of times when we lose loved ones, it's one thing, but to lose them during the Christmas season, it can be extremely painful. And what I want to share with you today and give you some hope is that Jesus said if you trust and have faith in him and understand his teaching here, even though he was talking about his resurrection, the principle is that your joy will return. And you have to stand on that and believe that at some point in time, your sorrow is going to give way to. This is what he told his disciples. He says, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. In other words, I'm about to die. But a little while after that, you will see me again. Look what he says. So some of the disciples ask each other, what does this mean when he says a little while, in a little while, you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I am going to the Father. So if you know things that Jesus said, you can almost see the whole story of his life. He's saying, look, you're going to see my death, my burial, and my resurrection, and then also you're going to see me ascend to the Father. All those are the stories that we talk about most of the time during Easter. So I'm reading you this little Easter part here to make a point about what he says about your joy being restored, even in the midst of grief and sorrow. But we're going to get to the Christmas story here soon. He said, now look, and what does it mean a little while? We don't understand. Now Jesus, we see here, is divine insight. Jesus realized what they wanted to ask him about it, so he said, are you asking yourself what I meant? I said, in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you will see me again. Then you tell them this truth, and we got to hold on to this. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me. There are going to be times in your life when you will weep and mourn over a situation that happened to you. But in Jesus' case here, he says this, that when that happens, some people will be rejoicing and others will be grieving. Because he said, but the world will rejoice in what happened to me. In other words, the religious leaders and those Jews who did not believe that he was the Savior will be rejoicing when he would die. you will grieve. But somebody say, but. But your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. That's why the Bible can go on and say that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We all experience those seasons where we're going to have to weep. We're going to go through those times of sorrow. But we have to hold on to this truth that joy will return. And that's a consciousness that we must all have and believe that joy will return. I wish that life could be lived with the absence of grief and sorrow. But that's not how God designed that. But he also put in place that after the time of grief and sorrow, joy will return. And you have to hold on to that. Even when you're going through, you got to hold on so that you can persist in joy. Is that all right? Sometimes we just have to push our way through. Sometimes we have to fight our way through. It may be difficult, but you got to hold on to the promise that joy will return. Now, let me close by, because we're going to have the choir come back up, and we're going to sing a little joy songs here in a minute. But I need to get there. Is that all right? So let me close this series on persistent joy by briefly focusing on the events in the Bible that specifically speaks to the joy of Christ being born. You know, he is the reason for the season. Amen. Fabian told you part of the story. I had that in my notes, but I won't go there because he already told you that the wise men, when they found out Jesus was born, they rejoiced. They saw his star. Amen. That ought to let you know at the top of your tree, that star is there for a reason. If you got a Christmas tree at home and you ain't got a star up there, you got the wrong symbol unless you got an angel. Amen. The focus is on the Jesus is the star of this season. We are not. Yes, we celebrate with our kids, but we don't lose sight of who's the star. Because when we lose sight of the star, then others now become the star, and the star lose his. So the wise men saw the star, Fabian, and they followed it until they found the child. And so what we see here, I want to look at Luke's version because he talks from the very beginning. And in Luke, I want to now add some context to what I've been saying about this passage. See, in Luke, we find Joseph and his pregnant fiance, Mary, having to go back to their own city to register for the census. And that was a decree that was put in place by the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. And Joseph had to travel back to where? Y'all just got through saying it. What was the name of the city? Bethlehem. So when you read the first two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke, most of the songs that we can't sing at Christmas time comes from those thoughts. So when Joseph had to travel back to Bethlehem, someone got a thought and wrote, oh, little town of Bethlehem. Y'all better follow me today. When he arrived there, with his pregnant wife ready to bring forth Jesus, the Bible said there was no room in the inn. Holiday Inn was full. Marriott was full. The Hilton Suites was full. So they had to bring forth this child in a barn or a cave wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he was laying in a. Somebody wrote a song about it. That song was centered around the adoration of this newborn baby as he lay in a manger with no crib for a bed. This little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. So that brings us to verse 8, where we see the announcement of Jesus' birth by the angels to the shepherds who were in the fields. And what you got to see here is that they were out in the field watching over their flocks. So look at this in verse 8. He says, now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks. In other words, you know, during that time, the shepherds, you know, they had to stay with their flock because there was rustlers out there. You know, people, just like they steal cows today, I guess they were stealing sheep back then. And there was also wild animals that could attack the flock. So the shepherds normally stayed out in the fields with their flocks by night. But the thing that you got to get here is that normally the occupation of a shepherd during that time was looked down on. It wasn't one of those glamorous jobs that you had. It was a job that you would look down on, a job that required a lot of humility just to be a sheep herder. So they was out in the flocks, watching over their flocks by night. And the Bible says, and behold, somebody say, behold. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. I'm pretty sure if you was out in the field at night and a big light showed up all around you and things started lighting up, you know, it would get your attention. Probably cause you to go into a brief moment of fear. Amen. That would be natural fear because you don't know what to do. Should I run or should I stand here? I need to do something. But this angel appeared and he was showing the radiance and the glory of God because that light represented the presence of a holy God. And then look, he says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be to all people. Whoa. He's giving this good news to some lowly shepherds who are out in the field watching over their flock. And he says, I'm bringing you good tidings, good news. And this ought to be news that's going to bring not just joy, great joy. I mean, I don't think some of you understand. The Bible could have just said good tidings of joy. But when it emphasized that this joy is supposed to be, so that means during this time when we celebrate Jesus, it ought to be a great celebration. Because the party is for him, not for us. And so therefore, when we come to church and we worship him during this season, it's all about him and not about us. And we ought to have great. We ought to be glad that God allowed his son to be born and put in place to take the sins for the world. That ought to bring us great joy. And that joy should be for all people. That lets us know that Jesus is not part of an exclusive organization. Amen. Everybody can get in this club. Amen. Don't make no difference who you are, where you come from, where you was born, how much sin you had, what color you are. It don't make no difference. He came for every. And all people should read with great joy. You know, I'm just so to the point that I really don't know what great joy would sound like in Strive. You know, I can't wrap my mind what great joy, because to see great joy take place, that means all of y'all had to participate. And you know, sometimes when pastor try to get y'all to participate, y'all are like, y'all don't know how to have. y'all try to play that I'm not the joyful type. Well, maybe I'm trying to get you to rejoice for the wrong reason. Because I guarantee you, some of you are the rejoicing. I'm just saying, take that joy you put elsewhere and for about 30 seconds put it on the star. Can we just take 30 seconds right now, stand to your feet if you're able to, and just put it on the star. Think about the star. It's his birthday. It's his celebration. We're here to magnify him. We're here to exalt him. We're here to let him know that we are so glad that he came into the world. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, God. Joy, unspeakable joy, just to tell God, thank you for sending your son You gave us the best present that we could ever want on a Christmas day when you gave us. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Lord. We bless your name today, God. This is about you. You're the present that we're going to open. You're the one that we're going to look forward to. You're the one that's the reason. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated. You'll get a chance to do it again here in a minute. Look at it. He says now, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That was all right. Great joy, which is for all people. You're part of an inclusive organization. And Jesus wants all of us in it. Amen. Look what he says. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now look at this. And this will be a sign to you, talking to the shepherd. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a... In other words, there may be a whole lot of other babies in the city when you get there. But I don't want you to be confused who the star is. The one that you're looking for, and you'll know that you found the right one when you find him laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling. You're not going to find him at the palace. You're not going to find him at the inn. You're going to find him in a cave wrapped in little rags. You know, right now, you know, when you're born, they got the little baby things they put you on, they wrap you up. When you don't see newborns, they have to keep them warm. So they wrap them up so they can still feel like they in their mama's womb. Jesus wasn't privileged to have a nice warm blanket with his name already on it. They had to get strips of cloth and wrap him up in. But the point is, it don't make no difference how you come into the world. It's who you are and what you do after you get into the world. And so what I'm trying to tell you, some of us may have been born from meager beginnings, but you can't look back at that and see that other hindrance. You got to look at it that, hey, that is just where the Lord started out, but I now see where he has brought me. Jesus started out in a stable. He started out in a manger. But guess what? He ended up on the cross, but he ended up back with the... So you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a... So to me, when you talk about that and the three kings, and this is Pastor Bolden, political Christian perspective. If you're going to represent Jesus in the church, you ought to have a manger scene. You ought to have some shepherds. You shouldn't have no Christmas tree with presents up under. I ain't say in your house. You can put whatever you want in your... But they weren't looking for a tree. They was looking for a baby wrapped in... Laying in a... It's too late now. I ain't trying to mess with y'all Christmas at home. No, so don't even go there. I see some of y'all trees in my spirit eye right now. I see what it look like in your house. I just want you to go home and put a star. I'm not saying take the tree down. Just put a... And if you ain't got a star, find an angel. Because we're going to see here the angels sing from on. Look at this. Let me read it. I'm almost done. He says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, somebody say a multitude of the heavenly hosts, a lot of other angels. What were they doing? Praising God. In other words, you know, that's probably somebody that wrote a song, Hark the Herald, Glory to. Somebody just took that passage of scripture and say, if heaven can sing for the Lord, then earth ought to sing too. Let earth, you know, we're supposed to do something for our king, don't we? I mean, he is our king, and therefore we're supposed to every now and then just praise the... If the angels could do it, they broke out in praise. Every now and then the church ought to just break out in every now and then. And even if we just feel it, even if we just break out once a year. We may not want to break out in March or July or August, but look here, in December, the Sunday before we celebrate, the church ought to just break out for a minute. Can we just, if the angels are not already broke out, can we follow the angels' suit and just break out for a little bit? Because he said, look, they were singing praises to God. Then they're saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill toward all men. I came to make peace between God and man. That's enough for you to praise him for. Because he came, God is no longer your enemy, but now we are friend of God. And we ought to be able to give God some praise for sending Jesus to be born. Hallelujah. We celebrate his birth. We come alongside the angels as they celebrate, we celebrate. So while you're standing to your feet, I'm going to ask our praise team to come back. We're going to sing a couple songs, and I want you to act like you're singing about the star, not yourself. Even if you're out of tune, you just make a joyful noise. Amen? And then we're going to come back and make some appeals. But look here, today is about Jesus. I led up to this by talking about all the other holistic viewpoints of joy, but today, it's about the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, Ray sung about him. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to sing about that. But you know, if you just go back and look at all those songs, and you trace them, Silent, We Three, all on those first two chapters, things was happening about this newborn baby, and someone's got a wisdom, became wise enough to sit down and write a song about it. And we're still singing some of those songs to this. So look here, there's no limitation on being able to write something with joy in it about your Lord. We're going to sing somebody else's song, but I believe the Lord got a song in some of y'all's heart that you can sit down and read these stories in these first two chapters of Luke and Matthew and say, God, speak to my heart. Give me something that can glorify your son and his birth. But since y'all ain't wrote nothing, we're going to sing somebody else's. Hit the praise team, y'all ready?